this presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
Let's open in prayer. Father, we thank you for today and just that great sense of your presence here when we were worshipping. We thank you, Father, for your great love. Thank you for Jesus. And we just pray you'd speak to us today as we spend this time in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So when I heard that I was coming to Whyalla, I assumed it was going to be a town full of fishermen. And I thought there was going to be a lot of beards here, and I'm the only beard. So I'm a bit disappointed. I thought I was... I'm just joking. I didn't grow this for today. Anyway, I do need to give it a trim, so I apologise for that. My wife hates it. So maybe later. So thank you for having me here. I'm from Murray Bridge, town about the same amount of people as here. And this is my wife, Holly. I've got two kids. And it's great to be invited up here today. I'm part of the state exec, and we kind of like to go out and see what's going on. And when we got the invitation, they were like, "Yeah, be great to have you come here." So thank you very much to be here. So like I said, my name is Mark. I'm from Murray Bridge. Who's been to Murray Bridge? You've just about all been to Murray Bridge. Who hasn't been to Murray Bridge? Only a few. Oh, you should come sometime. You're very welcome. It's a beautiful town. Well, it's not really that beautiful. It's the drug capital of South Australia and crime and all the rest of it. But it's a great town. Got two kids. My daughter is 19 and she's just come back from being 6 months in England. And my son is 17. Who's 17? He was once 17. It's a good age. She's got her license and she's independent. So I want to talk today about fruit. I think you're doing a series at the moment called The Fruit of the Spirit. And so I wanted to share a bit about what's on my heart around the fruit of the Spirit. I don't know a lot about fruit, but I know a little bit about fruit. When I was about 17, 19, 20 in my young days, there's lots of orchards in Murray Bridge. And I worked at a place called Maipalonga, and we would pick apricots, we would pick oranges, and I was sometimes pruning. We would go on these massive machines called hydroplats, which was like a cherry picker, and they're probably illegal now because they were very, very dangerous, but you stand in it and you get the thing right up higher than this roof and you drive around on it while you're up there. And it has three wheels and you use it to prune. And you have these snips that they just chop straight through branches this size and they easily cut your thumb off. Terrifying. We used to do that. We used to have lots of fun out there. We used to be crazy. I remember the day where my friend crashed his motorbike into the beehives. And that was hilarious. And we were just rolling on the ground laughing. And he was trying to kickstart the motorbike and the bees were attacking him. And he just ended up just running. And they were just all chasing him. And he ran down to the river. So we had lots of fun on the orchard. But one of the things I noticed is that they would do this thing called grafting. And what they would do is they would take a rootstock, like a stump or a tree that was established, and they would graft in a new plant because they might have wanted a specific type of apricot or a specific type of orange. And they would take this cutting. If anyone here knows more than me, please correct me because I just watched them. I don't really know what they did. But it was like they got this cutting. I think they dipped it in some kind of like hormone solution or something. And then they would kind of graft it in, wedge it in there and wrap it up. Rooting powder. And they wrapped it up and then that would then grow. Now, I'm not sure about this, but I'm pretty sure if they cut this thing off and they threw it in the fire and or just on like rocks or cement, it probably wouldn't bear any fruit. But if it's grafted in, it would, which is interesting. And it leads me to the verse I want to share today. And that is John 15, 1 to 17. John 15, what does it say up there? John 15, 1. Yes, we'll start at 1 and then we'll go through. So this is the verse for today. I am the vine, and my Father is the gardener. This is a bit different than my version still. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so there will be even more fruitful. Who's ever been pruned? You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. No longer I call you servants, because servants does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love one another. That's a big slab of scripture. Thank you for your patience. Isn't it good to get into the word and really kind of unpack that? I want to unpack it. I'm going to do now. It's quite convoluted. You know, some of it makes a lot of sense. Some of it seems a bit backwards. Who likes Yoda from Star Wars? You know, it's a bit. I can't do a Yoda. Does anyone do a Yoda? So I thought I'd hear from the back row. Yoda, I am. All right, so let's unpack this a little bit, because it seems complex, but it's actually not kind of crazy complex. There's only a couple things that God is trying, or Jesus is trying to get through to us in this verse. So I'm going to see if I can make it as simple as possible. And this is kind of my version, okay? You ready? You look ready. Okay, I think the first verse, it basically means this. You need me to bear fruit. That's what I think the first verse means. I think the second verse means you need me to bear fruit. I think the third verse means, hey guys, you need me to bear fruit. I think the fourth is you need me to bear fruit. I think the fifth is you need me to bear fruit. Now, the sixth verse is a little different if you're following along. It says, if you don't let me help you bear fruit, it's not going to be good. Right, that's the bit where it's cut off and burned in the fire. Sounds very painful. Number seven goes back to the old thing. Hey, guys, you need me to bear fruit. Number eight's pretty cool. It talks about how us bearing fruit glorifies God. Probably it glorifies God and not us because we need him to bear fruit. Number nine, he says, I love you and I want you to be close to my love. That's awesome. In 10 and 11, he starts talking about that there's a connection between listening to his commandments and love. He's saying, hey guys, listening to my commandments, there's this connection with love. There's a connection between listening to my commandments and joy. And the reason I want you to listen to my commandments is because I'm commanding you to love. Towards the end, he talks about friendship. He says, you are my friends if you do what I command you to do. You're my friends if you do what I command you to do. 16 says, this is my idea, not yours. And number 17 is, just so you're not confused, I'm commanding you to love. There's a couple of themes here. It's you need me to bear fruit. I want you to be connected in. I want you to obey my commands. Your commands that I want you to obey is love. This is my idea, not yours. I'm calling you to do this. And I just want you to love. It's a great thing. You need me to bear fruit. You need me to bear fruit. You need me to bear fruit. And this idea about friendship. I want to zone in a little bit now on this idea of friendship. You're my friends if you do what I command you to do. You are my friends if you do what I command you to do. Now, there's two ways we could unpack this. We could look at it like, let's say we'll go over here. If you do what I tell you to do, we can be friends. Right? Or the other way, this is actually quite a big stage. If you're doing what I like, we must be friends. Right? It's like, this one's kind of like, you know, if you do what I tell you to do, well then we can be friends. Or over here, it's more like, we're friends. I can tell we're friends because of how you're acting. It's kind of different. Let me explain it a bit more. There's a movie, and in the movie, what's the movie called where they say Mean Girls? Has anyone seen Mean Girls? It's about these girls, and they are pretty mean. They are pretty mean. And it's this famous scene, and they're around a park bench, or is it inside or in a cafe? It's in the cafeteria, and the new girl comes up because she wants to kind of sit at their table, and as she goes up there and she goes to sit with them, they say to her, on Wednesdays we wear pink, because she's not wearing pink, and they're all wearing pink, and they say it in like a posh girl, on Wednesdays we wear pink, you know, it's like, hey, right? And it's like, you can't sit with us because you're not wearing pink. So get lost, right? On Wednesdays we wear pink. On Wednesdays we wear pink. And sometimes I think that when we look at this verse, we kind of think, on Wednesdays, oh, okay, so if God is going to let me sit at his table, I got to wear pink. If God is going to let me in the vine, if God is going to give me the thumbs up, if he's going to say I'm saved, he's going to give me his love, I got to get with the system and I got to act the right way. This is, you know, if you're my friend, you know, you can be my friend if you do what I tell you to do. And this is kind of what often we think in church, or maybe people that aren't in church maybe think that too. God, his love is conditional, and we got to get with the system, we got to act the right way, and then we can be in the God club. You know, I don't think he's saying this. I don't think this is what this verse is saying. I'm going to tell you another story. So when I was in school, I was in year 8 at a Temple College in Adelaide. And there was a girl in my class, and she would get quite bullied because she smelt like a fish and chip shop. And like everyone would like tease her and go, get away, you stink, things like that. Now, I didn't mind because I love fish and chips. So I'd want to sit next to her. But she smelled like a fish and chip shop, and people would give her a hard time. But the thing about my friend Belinda was that she wasn't trying to smell like a fish and chip shop. She lived at one. Her dad owned a fish and chip shop. It's the best one in the suburbs. And she lived in the back, and she smelt like fish and chips. She wasn't, well, I don't know about that, maybe. Right? But, and so sometimes we have to kind of, we battle with this idea, this idea of like, on Wednesdays we wear pink, you know, like we've got to act like a Christian. And if we act like a Christian and we look the right way and we wear the right clothes and we have the Bible under our arm, then, you know, that means that we, you know, we're in God's club. I don't think that that's God's idea. I think he wants us to be like Belinda. He wants us to smell like fish and chips. She wasn't trying to wear pink on Wednesdays. She smelled like fish and chips because she hung around with her dad. She hung around with her dad, and it come out of her. And that is the heart of what God is saying. He's like, you hang around with me. You get in the vine, right? You get grafted in. You spend time with your father and you start to smell like him. You start to act like him. And it's love. You smell like love. You smell like grace. You smell like peace. You smell like joy. This is I think we're doing a series on the fruit of the Spirit, right? Yeah, so maybe we could smell like the fruit of the Spirit when we're grafted in the vine. Isn't this a great message? Because we can get to throw off that Wednesdays we got to wear pink and we got to act like the popular kids and we've got to try so hard to be so perfect when God is saying, just get in the vine. Just get close to me. Just hang out with me, guys. Just spend time with your father, and before you know it, it's this fruit's going to start coming out of you. Isn't that good news? That's not nothing, right? It doesn't mean you can just sit back and do nothing. You've got to spend time with God. You know, it's like Paul says, run the race. It's effort involved, but it's the effort of faith, not the effort of works. It's the effort of connecting. You know, relationships take a bit of effort. A good relationship, you know. Our marriage is pretty good. It doesn't happen by accident. Well, I was joking the other day and I said, we've been happily married for 20 years. And we've been married for 23, but only 20 of them were happy, right? In the middle, it got a bit rough, you know, and who knows what it's like when you have relationships. It gets a bit rough, but we hung in there and God did a work in us and healed some stuff in our lives and it's going okay again, you know. But relationships take effort, right? You know, it takes effort. You know, Jesus hung on that cross. That took some effort. It wasn't nothing. He's laying his life down on the line for us. We've got to meet him. We've got to take a step closer to him. We've got to let ourselves be grafted in. And then that fruit comes out of us. That fruit of love, joy, peace. It's smelling like a fish and chip shop. And if you don't believe me, here's some other examples of this in the Word. It's ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened. It's a man found a treasure in a field. Sold everything to get that field. It's the pearl of great price, right? It's Jacob wrestling with God and saying, I won't let you go till you bless me. It's a tree planted by the stream, bears fruit in all seasons. It's draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. It's the Lord is my shepherd. It's not try to be good and you get better. It's not hang around church. It's not read the Bible. It's not treat God like a cosmic Santa and hope that your life gets easier. It's be grafted in. Reading the Bible, praying and coming to church is fantastic. And I heartily encourage you to do that. But it's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's been planted. This is where fruit comes from. This is where love comes from. You can't bear fruit on your own. You can't bear fruit on your own. You can't bear fruit on your own. I think I'm getting my point across. Now, the thing about us is we can't bear fruit on our own, but God is different than us. He doesn't need us to bear fruit. God doesn't need us to bear fruit. He spoke and the stars were put in place and we had nothing to do with that. God spoke and the water separated from the land and he spoke and life came. He breathed on the dust and it became Adam. He's different than us. We need him to bear fruit, but he doesn't need anything. I want to share a bit of a story about this as I finish up. Would I be able to have some? Sorry, I was hoping you knew what that meant. Because I think you're going to do worship after this, I think, maybe. Is that right? So, my daughter is now 19, but when she was little, she was a handful. Who has a handful? A daughter that's a handful. She was a busy, busy little munchkin. She was a handful and she liked to do stuff and sometimes I would look after her and so that it just made sense to do things with her because she was full of life. And I remember this day, and I want to share this because it, just bear with me because it's complex, but I really think this is important to understand. This one day we decided that we were going to make cookies, bake some biscuits. And so I got the bowls out and the flour and the chocolate chips and the cocoa and all the stuff you do to make choc chip cookies. And I was doing this with my daughter, and she was getting everything wrong. And she was like, she was pretty old by this stage. She was like 1.5, 2. And she was just, I asked her to measure out a cup of flour, and she got the measurements wrong. And then she was eating the odd chocolate chip. And then she spilt the milk, and half of it went on the floor. And I was so angry. I was furious. I wasn't furious. Because she's 2. I wasn't furious. Because I knew that if I wanted to make perfect cookies, I'd be better off without her. Right? Like, she's 2, and if I wanted to make perfect cookies, I would have done it without her. Right? Wait till she's asleep. But it wasn't about the cookies. Do you know that God is better off without us? He doesn't need me to preach a message. If he wanted to, he could just lift up this roof and just boo, blah, 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 blah. I don't know what he sounds like. But he could speak a perfect message. God plus you is worse. God plus you is worse. He doesn't need us. He wants us. And sometimes we get so caught up making it about thinking that we have to get everything right for God. We make it about the cookies. I can imagine my daughter just being, imagine if she was so upset at the end of it and the cookies are not quite the right shape and they're a bit kind of, and she maybe if she got the wrong message, she could be really upset thinking that I was somehow disappointed. No, it was never about the cookies. It was never about that. It was about doing something with my daughter. It's about being in the vine. Please, church, I think that us Christians have a huge problem making it about the cookies. We think somehow that we've got to step out of our day and, you know, our house at the start of the day, and we've got to minister perfectly. We've got to get things right. We've got to kind of somehow make God proud of us when He looks down at us and He just wants to do life with us. He knows we're going to stuff it up. He knows we're going to trip and fall. He knows we're going to make mistakes. He just wants to do life with us. He wants to do life with you. He wants, when you're playing the piano, or when you're ministering to your friends at work, or when you're reading the Bible and you get upset and think, oh, I'm getting this all wrong. I just want to encourage you to say, oh, I'm making it about the cookies. Right? It's not about the cookies. I need Him to bear fruit. And I just want to share this word to us as a church today and really encourage us to let ourselves be grafted in and let Him make the fruit out of us and just repent and renounce our prideful nature of trying to do things without God, thinking that we have to make Him somehow proud of us. It's never about the cookies. It's about the cross. It's not about the cookies, it's about the cross. Jesus found a way. He hung there and He died for us so that you could be grafted in and bear much fruit through the power of the Holy Spirit. Would you like to stand? We're going to pray. I I want to put out there a challenge and this idea that I think at times we all do this. At sometimes we all forget and we think that we can bear fruit on our own. So I want to do two prayers. I want to do a prayer first about us just saying, sorry, God, for being like that prodigal son that ran off thinking that we could do things without you. So what if you join with me as a church and we'll just pray and say, sorry, God, I don't want that anymore. Is that cool? Would you like to repeat after me? Father God, would you forgive me for forgetting that I need you to bear fruit? I embrace this truth. And I want my roots to go deep down like a tree into your living water. Be pleased to produce fruit in my life. The fruit of love. Amen. And I want to do a second prayer, and the second prayer is about the cookies thing, you know, just kind of like when we get disappointed and we think that we're not good enough. I just want to declare war on that idea. You know, that disappointment when you try your best and you fail and you feel so broken. I don't want us to do that anymore. I want us to have joy that the cross has taken care of our failures and that we're going to do stuff with God, not for God. Does that sound okay? All right, would you like to repeat after me? I'm sorry, Father.
I'm sorry, Father.
For making it about the cookies.
For making it about the cookies.
I now see that my ministry is not something I do for you.
But with you.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
For the cross. Perfection was dealt with. Jesus Christ.
Lived a perfect life for me.
I choose now to let myself throw that lie away that I have to be perfect.
And I choose you. I choose Jesus.
Amen. We're going to sing. Thank you, Dean.
Listening to today's message. For more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website at bethelcrc.org.au or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.